Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Bakari Sellers Podcast. Today's a funny episode, man. We'll be interviewing the actor and comedian Little Rel Howery. But before I get to Little Rel, I wanted to shout out South Carolina women's basketball coach Dawn Staley. She just got win 500 last night, and her efforts to bring attention to the unequal treatment of women's and men's basketball teams participating in this year's NCAA tournament. You know, in case you missed it this past week, in response to the embarrassing disparities in the facilities that the NCAA provided to men's and women's basketball teams participating in their respective championship tournaments, Coach Staley penned a letter, an open letter to the NCAA. Here's the best part of her letter. Quote, "What we now know is the NCAA's season-long messaging about togetherness and equality was about convenience and a soundbite for the moment created after the murder of George Floyd." Whew. She goes on further to say, "We cannot, as leaders of young women, allow NCAA President Mark Emmert and his team to use us and our student athletes at their convenience. Every team here in San Antonio has earned and deserves at a minimum the same level of respect as the men. All the teams here dealt with the same issues as the men's teams this season, yet their reward is different." If y'all saw the difference in the weight room facilities, you'd understand why Coach Staley did what she did, but it's bigger than a single facility in San Antonio. What she's doing is what we should all be doing in this moment, and that's making highly profitable industries that say the right things actually live up to their PR. Everybody had the right things to say when George Floyd died this summer, but what are they doing about it? I think we all know that the corporate responses to this past summer were largely performative, but it's really on us as customers, fans, employees, and stakeholders to do what Coach Staley did, and that's call people to the mat. And a day later, after she wrote the open letter, there was an apology and new facilities. Power concedes nothing without a demand, and Coach Staley showed us how to leverage our platforms to hold people accountable. And that's that on that. Now on to our episode with Lil Rel.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Thank you for joining the Bakari Sellers Podcast. We got Little Rel with us today. We're going to hop right to it. You know, we start all of our episodes by having our guests walk us through the arc of their careers. And you've been able to successfully transition from stand-up to television to film, all while keeping a hand in all three. And you're writing and producing content for Quelle TV. Walk us through these big breaks in your career such that you're now a real force in comedy, television, film, and now in the content production business.
Yeah, it's a very intentional thing. You know what I mean? Like, where, like, I try to live up to what my heroes did. You know what I mean? You know, it makes me crazy. But, like, that's always been my focus and my goal, is to, like, do what the cats I look up to, just do what they did, and even more, right? And I've been able to, and it's funny too, I think the last few days, for some weird reason, I've been reflecting on that. A lot about, like, Bernie Mac and Eddie and cast that I really look up to, Robin Williams, Robin Harris. It's just kind of living up to what they've done and then try to do it even bigger. So, like, you know, you have, those are my heroes, and then my new heroes are like Ava DuVernay and
yeah.
Watching how they all move and just trying to combine outside of just being in front of the camera, what I do behind the scenes is I know it's very important to the game and just to like elevate and enhance other people who have the same type of dream.
I mean, it's important because we have to be in charge of telling our own story. And, you know, when you're able to do this and you have this platform, that's what's dope about it. Let's talk about your newest. One of the reasons we're here is because you got a new project out called Bad Trip. We're going to play the trailer right here.
It's finally time for that road trip. I'm talking N-Y-C. Yeah.
Shouldn't have taken my sister's car, man.
She's crazy. She will kill us.
Keep your mouth shut.
Snitches get stitches.
If the squad ain't with me, then it ain't right.
We got 4 whole days. We can kick back, relax, and breathe in America.
We are the only black people in here.
You like to make a toast?
What are you doing up there?
Get down from
I love
there.
You. Wait,
Come on, get up.
And I know on a podcast, we'll play the visual, but on a podcast, people listen, can't see that trailer, but I'm telling you, it's funny as fuck. So, Rel, what is Bad Trip about? And talk to us about your character, Bud.
Well, you know what's funny is doing a prank movie, and I don't know if it's ever been done, where it is black leads in it. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't happen all the time where it's black leads in a prank movie. And we prank a lot of black people. Why some of the reactions are like, oh, this is crazy. This is the funniest movies I've ever done. Now, you know, would I do it again? I don't know. Like, if this is...
Why did you say yes to this one, though? I mean, tell me what made you say yes to this one?
Eric is my friend, and I'm a fan of the Jackass movies.
Gotcha.
Huge fan. So, like, you know, you watch some stuff, you're like, ha-ha, that's great. And he do it, you're like, yeah, this is crazy, right? Because that's what it was. It's like, you don't know how anybody's going to react.
Correct.
It's acting class 101, too, because you have to stay in those characters. So, like, being Bud Malone, Bud is a real chill dude. He's, you know, he's not as confident. He does everything by the book. So to stay in character, so the prank can work, was even crazier. So like when I, you know, we did the film, once I put my costume on, I wasn't me anymore. And that's how we made everything work. The people have to believe what's happening is really happening. So you have to stay in character.
How do you not prank? Because one of the things I've always remembered is when Jay Prince got pranked. How do you make sure you're not pranking the wrong person and they take this thing sideways? Because you've heard the legendary story about when Jay Prince got pranked and he was like, "Yeah, I'll be at the studio in a minute." So how do you make sure that you people play along and don't, for lack of a better term, beat your ass?
Well, the first day we shot the movie, we almost got murdered. Like the first day, I'm not gonna do a spoiler, but man, we was in that Chinese finger trap, and we walked into that barbershop which we walked into the wrong barbershop. Our security wasn't in there, the cameras wasn't in there, and the way this dude reacted, like I think I broke character, everything. Like I fell to the ground, I hurt my elbow, and I like scraped myself up. Because he literally lunged at us with this, man, it was crazy. So, yeah, you don't know. I'm like, what was this brother talking about before we came in here? Like, because walking like this, I'm a murderer, man. That's what it felt like. And I remember just walking off set. Like, I think I quit the first day. I was like, you know what I'm saying? I can't do it.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Well, they didn't say I was wrapped. I literally got up and walked to the hotel in the stuff I had on. It was crazy. I called my manager. Which the legendary story is, I did call Tiffany Haddish, because one of my best friends. I'm like, Eric got me doing this crazy movie. I almost got murdered today, and I'm never doing this again. And then Tiff called Eric like, yo, did you almost get real killed? He's like, yeah, man. She's like, yo, I got to be in this movie.
Let's talk about Tiffany Haddish. When she's not out there making silhouette videos on IG and stuff, you worked with her before in a few projects. Talk about your relationship with her and what's it like doing comedy with her? Because she seems like such a perfect fit for your sister Trina in the hidden camera format.
I mean, Tiff is one of my best friends, right? And we was talking, we have our moments out there. We was talking last night for a while because we were just talking about the Grammys and her winning and we were both just talking about like, dang, you remember we was speaking all this stuff up? Like we were speaking up crazy stuff, man, like 15 years ago. And just to watch.
But you don't have no Grammy though.
Not yet. She said, I literally just recorded a comedy album. So,
you better get one then. Let's go then.
She said, but I don't dispute anything Tiff says to me. I mean, she's been like that since we've met. Like, nah, you gonna win a Grammy? I'm like, all right. but you know, she's so much fun. She's so funny. But when I tell you, she spoke all this stuff up. She literally in my house in Chicago about 10, 15 years ago, like, yeah, we're going to be brother and sister. We're going to play husband and wife. We've done all this stuff. Like, we played all these different characters together. And her as Trina, because she was down for it. She was down with the shit.
And she got, you know, I love Tiffany Haddish. I got a chance to speak with her. She and Charlamagne, we were at Tyler Perry's studio. And she got a little, she down, she ready to go. So she plays this role perfectly.
If snapped in this movie. And that's what people don't realize about prank movies. You have to, because people will they can't recognize you. They could actually.
So but, how do you make sure that they don't recognize? That's the question I have.
Well, the big part is the pace of it. You got to really dive into this. But people don't have time to think. Right, they're like, "What the fuck is going on?" Like, it has to be so fast. Everything has to be fast. We have to be really into it, where you won't think about it till it's done. Like, I knew it, but I wasn't sure because it was too like. And oh my god, when people see this movie, it's just certain pranks, man. Because it's just certain stuff happening. Where like, only time I almost broke for me was when you know Eric and the zoo thing. And I tried it because the aunties was going crazy. They was just like grabbing me. They were so scared. And I was trying not to laugh. That's the only time I was like, I can't do this. This is too much. And I had to like turn my head sometimes because they were reacting so like, what the hell is he doing? Like, it was like, oh my God. Because it felt like if my aunties was in this movie, that's how they would have reacted. And that is how they reacted. And it was,
man, you can't be out here killing old people, Rel. You know that, right?
I could not. I was fighting myself not to laugh.
So you mentioned something a minute ago about Chicago. Your roots are in stand-up. So I've got to talk to you about this. I want to talk Chicago comedians just briefly because I feel like y'all don't get the shine y'all deserve. You had Bernie Mac, Hannibal Buress, you, Dion Cole, Corey Holcomb, and then you've got three of my Morehouse brothers and good friends, Clark Jones, Will Miles, and Dave Hellum out of Chicago that represent the next generation of Chicago comedians. What's in the water in Chicago that makes y'all so special and crazy as fuck? What is that about?
You can't forget D-Ray, right? D-Ray Davis.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah.
Who really, when I was coming, I got the, like him and Corey was the first ones that had those deals first, man. So like it all felt like, oh, this is possible. But I don't know. I think the competitiveness of trying to be different is very interesting in Chicago. Chicago comedians, we all want to sound different. We don't all want to sound the same. Coming up in that time, too, was crazy because everybody was so good. So, like, you had to be really good to get stage time there. You know, you'll be on the show and there's, like, eight cats on there destroying and you like, oh, I can't be okay. But also, I think Chicago's so segregated.
True.
It makes you a strong comedian. It makes you have to be funny in front of so many different types of people. And we're not even just talking about white or black, anything like that. Even different types of black people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the hood black people, you have the bougie ones. Like, so you have to be funny in front of so many different types of people. It just makes you stronger. And I also think, too, that we all like, because we all of us here in LA, we came here hard. Like, I don't know what y'all doing, but we coming to rip down the damn stage. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Chicago made me feel like a star first. And so because of that, I was able to come to these other places. I was very confident because Chicago made me confident.
And a lot of people don't know with your platform, you are not a selfish brother. You put a lot of these, like my good friend Clark and the rest of them, you put a lot of them on and give them opportunities. So thank you for that. Let me ask you this. How can people, because we went away without talking about it, but how can people watch Bad Trip and when can we see it? Because I've been blessed enough to have the top secret Netflix, this and that. I ain't sharing nobody password. I don't want no emails saying that, you know, your account been logged into from another city. So I ain't sharing nothing. But when can people see it and how can they see it?
I like how you got the disclaimer together. Like, getting all that down now? I gotta get my kids similar accounts. No, but no, March 26th on Netflix, watch Bad Trip. Like, I'm almost afraid of how popular this movie is. Like, I wanted to do well, but I'm afraid because it's a prank movie and you don't want people to walk up to you like, yeah, I know you do the prank, so I'm gonna do some weird shit to you. Yeah.
That's what's gonna happen. And they're gonna be like, when the next one coming? Everybody, when you walk in, they're gonna be like, where the cameras at? This nigga got cameras. Where the
cameras? March 26th, Netflix, it is, I feel like it's going to be crazy. It'll be nice to watch, actually, you know, to see if we end up number one or in the top 10 thing. And like, it's going to be fun, man. But I think people are going to be addicted to watching this. When a movie like this, you're going to watch more than once because
you can watch it. Yeah. Yeah. You can watch it more than once.
And then we're going to release stuff that didn't make the movie. We did other pranks that didn't make it.
So it's like when you go to Blockbuster, you get two DVDs in it. You get the one in the front and the one in the back.
DVDs. I've been getting the tapes at Blockbuster. Coming to America at Blockbuster. It was on sale. Like, you remember?
Funny story. I went to my daddy's house. I went to my daddy's house the other day. He still had one of them late returns. I was like, man, they probably done sued you for this tape. He still got an old Blockbuster tape at the house.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
So, you know, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is Quelle TV. We had Deshaunna Spencer on the show before to talk about Quelle. So we're fans of her and Quelle. But talk about your role as the head of comedy for Quelle.
I mean, this is a beautiful thing, man. It's something I really invested into. And I'm proud of Deshaunna Spencer, this amazing Black woman who did something with great intention. Let me be a part of this. Because I think a lot of times they don't put talent in executive positions. Which I don't understand, right? I don't understand sometimes. I'm just being honest with, like, you have people that's head of comedy that never ever told a joke or wrote a joke or did anything. Like, how are you a head of comedy? What you do? Oh, yeah, I went to school to be an accountant, but, yeah, they let me be head of comedy. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. And I love the fact that Deshaunna gave me an opportunity that I think the cast that came before me, like Keenan Ivory Wayans, Robert Towns, I could just name a gang of people who I never understood the studio's not putting them in executive positions, especially all the people they put on, discovered, and did all this stuff. They just never put them in that position. So for her to give me the opportunity to give opportunity to other content creators from around the world, and that's been the fascinating thing about all the stuff that did it to me from around the world, to my Africa. And like, because I get on the phone with everybody once I, you know, submit the curate their stuff. And just to know what everybody's story is and how they did this is even more crazy. So I'm so thankful to be in a position to show Hollywood the next group of showrunners and directors and writers and stars. And I think Quelle TV, I think what we're doing with it, we're underrated in a way, which is fine. Because you come under the radar, that's the best
that's
way
to you're gonna be. Yeah.
I just
had an idea, though. I just had an idea. Bad Trip 2, right? Man, we're going to do it overseas, though. We're going to do it in Europe. One in Europe, one in Africa. I got it, man. Listen, just throw me a little EP credit. I don't even need executive. Just call me deputy executive.
If you want to replace me, you can. Like, they can prank movies is the toughest genre of anything I've ever done.
Explain that. Why is that?
Because you don't know how they're going to react. Like, it's just like Eric is that's one of my good friends. Eric is fucking crazy. And like, so he deals with things. I'm like, fam, the risk of what this is insane. So like, you think about Eric Andre, Sasha Baron Cohen, those are some unique, what's the man? Man, Johnny Knoxville. They're unique people, man. Like, that's not normal to do. That's why I don't know if you can keep doing it. Which is
you do realize that you just committed yourself and did extremely well that same abnormal shit that you're talking about, right?
That's why I'm like, I don't know if I do it again. But I tell you, I tried to quit the first day. I was like, you know something? I think I'm going to die. I called my family. Like, look, I don't know what's going to happen with this movie. I don't know if I'm going to be alive in 3 days, but I love everybody. the first day we almost get murdered. It scares the hell out of you. But, you know, it's funny because the first day was so intense, it made it more comfortable with everything else. But what people react, you don't know what's going to make people angry. The stuff we predicted that would piss people off didn't do it. It was the stuff I was like, why y'all so mad about this? Why are you so angry about us being in a Chinese finger trap connected with, you know, like why? It was like we was walking down the street and two brothers walked past and like, yeah, I hope they don't say nothing to me. It was just too much. It's like, what? Y'all so angry.
Man, you don't know. People be having bad days out here, man. That's what it is. You catch somebody on a bad day. Look, according to Wikipedia, which I can't stand, and IMDb, you got a busy 2021 where Bad Trip is just one of 7 projects you got coming out. 4 of them I haven't heard of. So give us the quick and dirty on Free Guy, Fatherhood, Vacation Friends, and Deep Water. Can you talk about any of those?
Yeah, Vacation Friends, the movie I did with John Cena, which is... I haven't seen a cut yet, but I think they sent it to me soon. But I keep hearing it's hysterical. That's the first movie I'm number one. I'm number one on the call sheet. That's me starring in, and it felt
good. You ain't gonna know how to act, huh? I hope you get a red carpet too. I hope everybody's vaccinated. You get a real red carpet.
I just want y'all to see this movie. Yvonne Orji plays my fiance. It's dope. But me and Cena, we might be a new weird comedy combination. Nobody's seen coming. Actually, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was telling the director that when we was done, like, yo, this casino's okay with just going there. And like, I did like my own stunts. And he was like, hey, dude, you don't have to do your own stunts. I don't know what you're doing. Like, no, because Bad Trip really kicked off the worst for me because then I thought, I'm about to just do my own stunts. Be the comedian, Black Tom Cruise. you don't have to do your own stunts. So Deep Water I did with Ben Affleck was crazy fun. Free Guy with Ryan Reynolds. Whew. I don't care what nobody say. Like, I know it's a comedy, but we should get nominated for an Oscar for that movie because it's really great. So Free Guy is great. And what else?
Fatherhood
with Kevin Hart is Kev. Watching Kev do this dramatically is very is brilliant. It's a really good film. That I got Not Another Sports Show. My sports show, I'll get my pop shot on, and then my game show, Small Fortune, and then there's another movie, but I can't tell y'all what. Y'all gonna have to just see me pop up.
Man, you're gonna be on everything. We're gonna be watching movies. You're gonna be popping up in the Cialis commercials, running through the weeds and stuff. You're gonna be doing everything.
All the Aflac commercials are running now too. Me and Ryan.
I love it, bro. I know you got to get out of here, man. You on your tour, so I got a couple more questions for you. I loved Live in Crenshaw, especially the funeral skit. Everybody go to HBO and watch it if you haven't. Is there another stand-up on the horizon?
Yes. So I just recorded my comedy album a week ago in Nashville, and I just listened to it yesterday, and I think this is probably the best thing I've ever. So once again,
did you find black people to be in the audience in Nashville?
My fam, yes, black people there. But it's I think a, well, you I can't wait you hit a special because I do talk about Nashville and what I know some black people here. It was funny. It felt like the black people was like, "Thank you for coming here," because we want. I just felt like, you know, the misdirectionist is probably here. It felt like that energy was there, like that. but yeah, that is so funny. So yeah, that's my album's gonna come out probably like May or June. So we're gonna edit it the next week or so. And it's, when I tell you, it might be my best work I've done yet. And that's why I did an album for real, because I'm like, you know, some Grammys and all this other shit, you can't pass me if I did a real album. This ain't no video to this. This is a straight album. That's why Tiffany the other day was like, you gonna win our Grammy.
I hear you. I mean, they only passed on Nas for 45 years before they gave that man a... His Grammy. Look, my last question for you. Who was on your Mount Rushmore of comedy?
Oh, Eddie Murphy is to me number one. Richard Pryor, Moms Mabley, Bernie. Mm-hmm.
I think that's it. And Mount Rushmore got four people on it.
We'll do one more. Robin Harris.
Oh, there you go. Man, y'all catch up with one of the funniest men in the business right here. I know this man is doing so much work. I just want to thank him from the bottom of my heart, not just for the time you're giving me today, but also taking care of my friends that we share in common, Clark and Will and all those boys from Chicago, man. Whenever you reach a level that you still are reaching out and giving your friends platforms, from me to you, that means a great deal, man. So shout out to all the Chicago comedians. Shout out to Lil Rel. Go check his new movie out March 26th, Bad Trip. And all I can say about it is it's funny as fuck, man. Thank you so much for joining me, my brother. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, fam.
Before I let you go, I wanted to talk about the runoff happening in Louisiana's 2nd Congressional District to replace departing Congressman Cedric Richmond between State Senator Karen Carter Peterson and State Senator Troy Carter. I support State Senator Peterson in this race for a whole host of reasons, not the least of which is because I believe her to be the most progressive candidate left in the race, but I also believe that she represents the most significant shift in terms of environmental justice for that district. Here's why that matters. This district stretches from Baton Rouge to New Orleans and includes quote-unquote Cancer Alley. This region of Louisiana has vast stretches of refineries and other polluters that have created one of the sickest clusters of black communities that have paid the cost of living next to polluters for decades. Add that the very real role that climate change plays in natural disasters that directly affects black communities throughout Louisiana. I think that what this seat calls for now is a real champion that can speak to the intersection of environmental justice, climate change, racial equity, and a full green transition that will disproportionately benefit black communities like those in Louisiana's second. And that's Karen. So vote for Karen if you live in the second. And if you know anyone in the second, tell them to vote for Karen. And if you can't vote for Karen, send her some change at www.karencarterpeterson.com. And that's that on that. We'll see you all on Thursday.